Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.
You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily podcast on the Minnesota Timberwolves, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Locked On Wolves for July 14th. I'm Tom Schreier, co-founder of ZoneCoverage.com. And with me, as always, is Colton Molesky. Colton, are Lonzo Ball's shoes the biggest storyline of Summer League? Be honest.
I think maybe. I mean, he switches to Nike and he drops 36 points.
So this is my understanding with the, and we won't focus on shoes the whole time here, but this is my understanding with the shoe situation. Nike fits, they bring you out, and I believe it's to Eugene, Oregon, and they bring you out and they fit, like, perfectly mold these shoes to your feet.
The testing that they do is insane.
Yeah, and I only know this because I think it was like Jalen Rose talking about it or something like that. It became kind of this, you know, this storyline subplot or whatever, especially as, you know, for Wolves fans, Summer League is kind of what it is. Patting out with the foot injury. Alex Berg, I believe, has been kind of, you know, rubbing his feet, just trying to, you know, make sure that's smoothed out.
Absolutely.
But, he is not, just to be really clear with everyone. But for the Wolves, John Krasinski was out there. I heard him talking today about how, A, it was like 120 degrees out there. B, there are Summer League players that may end up on the Wolves roster. It's unlikely to be the ones that were in a Wolves uniform playing under Ryan Saunders there. I think it was Jalen Rose talking about this, and I'm sure you can find this 100 other places, but they mold these things to your feet. It's meant to prevent injuries. You can laugh about it as much as you want, the whole big baller brand and Nike, and there's a lot of kind of reason to kind of joke here, but in all seriousness, this is their livelihood. It's their knees, you know, their ankles, their feet, really, are their livelihood, and the difference between being kind of making generational money and maybe being out of the league quicker than you expect. What's your initial take on the shoe situation for Mr. Big
Baller
Brand?
Well, just continue off of what you're saying, that there really are specific to the player as well. Like, the Kyries are specific to his style of really trying to cross guys over, make a cut, and then slash the basket. Where if you buy a LeBron shoe, that's more protecting your ankles. It's a little thicker sole because they're intended for more jumping around, rebounding, more glass play. I mean, just it seems like little things, but when you're doing it so many times throughout the course of a season, any impact that can maybe take a little less of beating on your joints and more on the shoe, any way that can happen is going to make a difference over 82 games.
Yeah.
And so when you have something that's as specifically made to your style and the way you play basketball as the way Nike makes their shoe, and I'm not sure, there's not the same reports about Adidas, but they still put a lot of effort in their shoes as well. I don't know specifically what they do, but those big brands are really taking care when they're making the shoe. And so when you're just throwing on some random shoes. And I have the same concern about Klay Thompson and the Chinese brand that he signed with over the offseason. You really want to take care of your ankles, and your ankles affect how your knees. And so it's a little thing, but it's a little thing that can be easily fixed.
Yeah, I think you make a good point going back to 82 games. We always talk about, I like that Adam Silver came out, and I had a brief post on Zone Coverage about this, but I'm sure everyone knows by this point that, you know, they're reducing 18 timeouts to 14. I've always complained, as someone who watches both hockey and basketball, hockey's last 2 minutes are hands down better than basketball's. Like, you just, in the last 2 minutes, you occasionally see a team pull their goalie in this frantic 6-on-5 play. In basketball, it doesn't matter if I'm watching on TV or live at the game. It is a drag. I understand that, you know, it's these guys are paid to win, and that you can have any advantage that you can get. But I do like that they're reducing the timeouts, and they moved the trade deadline to make that a little more exciting. One disappointment I had, and I'm generally generally bullish on Adam Silver, and I think he's the only commissioner other than maybe Rob Manfred that I'm a fan of. I wish they would address, I know they can't do it instantly, I know they don't want to overreact to this kind of movement west where that's where all the talent is going that we discussed in an earlier podcast on Locked On, but I'm a little disappointed there wasn't more talk, or at least a sincere effort or commitment to perhaps going to like five regions rather than east-west and divisions, and maybe even talk of 76 games. I get that there's revenue in this, and it's a business. 4 and 5 nights is ridiculous. The fact that you have scheduling losses is ridiculous. But these players have to play under those conditions, and you have to take, going back to the shoe thing, you have to take your equipment seriously. So I completely agree. I understand we joke about LeVar and Lonzo Ball and stuff, but you know what? Big Baller Brand is not customizing anyone's shoes or anything. Nike has this down to a science. So, I thought that was a really good point, and it's something that, you know, we can joke about and have fun with, but there's also kind of something serious in the mix there too.
Well, I know it's not as much about summer league, but I do want to get back to the games. You're talking about cutting down games. I really think that for that to happen, and I'm on board with the idea, I think when you're scheduling in losses, that's a bad thing, especially when the TV deals are so good, you don't really need to have that many games. I know like ticket sales and everything like that are part of the revenue, but the TV deals just keep going up, that they're signing with the NBA and they're keep making more money off of television. So if you're cutting down games and putting out the starters for more nights, that's just going to add to your revenue. And if you have players come out, like the big name all-star players come out and start trying to push for this, that's when you probably see the conversation start to happen. But until that happens, it's just going to be us talking about it.
The 82 games is going to be really hard to fix because there's just some records. I mean, as much as the Warriors would have taken a championship, or in this case, this year they took a championship over having the best record, it was fun to say, hey, how does this team compare to the Bulls, especially when Steve Kerr is their coach? I understand kind of this is not a reason to have scheduling losses, especially, you know, there's all this talk about Popovich rushes his players and his fights with, I believe, David Stern back in the day and with Silver in the league, and, you know, people pay good money to go see these players. It's like, yeah, true. I want to see them at their best. I want to see them. We don't need to pamper anyone or anything like that, but I don't think this is a kid gloves or a, you know, overreaction in any state. I want to see them at their best. I don't want to see them in a game when it's a scheduling loss. I don't want to see them, you know, their knees turn to sawdust at age 28, you know? I want to see these guys through their athletic primes. And there's just big money in this. You can't mess around anymore. 82 games, I think, is going to be hard to change. I would like to see it switched into regions, if anything, because the Wolves should be in with the Chicagos, the Indianas, the Detroits. That's who the Minnesota teams face. There just is not a natural rivalry. Maybe a little bit with Denver, but with Oklahoma City or with Portland, you know? So I don't know. This is really getting away from Summer League, although, you know, to be honest, let's touch on the Wolves first. We'll get to Lonzo Ball. We'll get back to him because his play has been outstanding. But what do you make of this? I mean, do you care at all? This maybe is like a Ryan Saunders audition, but he's a ways out. That job's not opened up anytime soon, and he's still pretty young to his credit. But outside of that, how much do you care? And is there anyone you saw who you're like, yeah, maybe the Wolves should go pick that guy up from, you know, someone else's summer league roster?
The big guy that stood out to me over summer league, other than probably like the top couple draft picks, obviously Tatum and Ball, you pay attention to, but John Collins for Atlanta really stood out to me as a player, just because he was very highly touted at Wake Forest, but at the same time, Wake Forest wasn't super successful. There wasn't a ton of great players around him. Just seeing him interact with an actual roster of NBA guys, even if it's a summer league roster, who are really good performers and going to want shots in the ball, to see him interact and just the way he plays on offense and how he's just willing to be everywhere on offense. I mean, he gets his points from straight up scoring. He gets his points by really working off the pick and roll, by being around the glass for putbacks. by really doing a good job off turnovers in transition to get open, to get down the court quickly. He is so fast, and I wrote an article about Summer League that's going up on Zone Coverage, and one of the comments on him was just he's spending more time in the air during this his early NBA career than on the ground. He is jumping all over the place. He's making plays. He's getting down to one end of the court to the other really quickly. I just really like to see a guy who's really athletic fly around the court like that, and he's fun to watch. And I know that these guys, most of the guys he's playing, aren't going to be in the NBA probably this season. But if you are playing that hard all the time and you're able to do something in transition as well as working without the ball in your hands to try and do something on offense, those are all things that translate to the next game no matter who you're playing against.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think you know what? I like Summer League. I went back when it was announced that Patton was injured. I said I think it's kind of a big deal. This is a guy who's a developmental guy, the kind of the guard in the big man's body, as they called him, because he was 6'2 at one point in high school. I said I actually like this because it is a time for a Tyus Jones, for example, years ago to shine. It's a time to see the young stars in the league, and there just has to be some. And it's a small gateway, but some small gateway into the NBA. Because I like college basketball, and I'm actually someone who watches regular season games. It's intermittent because I tend to watch Minnesota sports and then pro sports before anything else. But if there's a good matchup on, I mean, it's hard to miss. But it's just the talent pool is more diluted. And you know, the Summer League, I think, has its purpose. So,
here's the other thing, too, is that for everyone who doesn't think Summer League is important and thinks, because there's some people, too, out there who think that Summer League just shouldn't be a thing. There's no point to it. Just let baseball have that part of the summer. The Cavs have not developed any young talent whatsoever for the last 2-3 years, and now they can't build a bench to save themselves. So I know Summer League, you're probably maybe only going to find 1 to 2 guys maybe per year, but over the series of 3-4 years, that really makes a difference because those are bench guys. Even if you're not finding the next Kyrie Irving in Summer League, you still need to have a bench and you still need to be developing young guys no matter how good you are in free agency. And so this is important for teams to just be able to stash and grab guys and say, oh, well, we have somebody who may be the 9th or 10th guy on the roster for a little while, but in 3 years he's probably going to be the 7th or 6th guy. And that's still an important role on a team.
I agree. I think it's, again, I wasn't especially, I mean, I kind of watch all sports. So with Wimbledon going on, I know that there was the All-Star break, but I watched the MLB All-Star game. You know, it's hard to kind of be like, sit there and be like, okay, I got to block out time for Summer League. But I understand a lot of listeners here do. And I think it's worth your time. I think you will see, you'll be the first ones on, man, I saw that guy in Summer League and all of a sudden he's an impact player, maybe a sixth man, maybe a key guy on the bench. Also, to your point, I think this just tells us the Cavaliers are just not a good organization. Pretty lucky to get all those #1 overall picks. Pretty lucky LeBron James is from Akron and not, you know, Southern California or something. So,
and for those of you who don't watch Summer League, I have no life, so I've been watching Summer League. So that's why I'm
no. I would say probably most of the listeners here have seen more of it, but I've been watching it just because, yeah, you know, occasionally you see a guy who you're like, man, you know, that guy should have gone higher or really took a step, you know, in a year or something like that. So, and it's basketball. At the end of the day, it's a high level of competition, all things considered. And thank God it's indoors because at least as Krasinski said, you know, when it got down to 98, and granted, you know, in this summer, it's been a little warm here in Minnesota, but he's like, when it got down to 98, man, I was pumped. So thank God for that. I do also think it's funny that they bring all these young players out who are like right out of college. They're like, yeah, you know, what's the best place for all these young people to, you know, get integrated into professional basketball? Las Vegas, right?
Hey, I'm not trying to say anything, but I think they're onto something. That's probably the best way to be prepared for your NBA career.
Colton, this is where we're sending you before we really kind of hit the grind with Zone Coverage and Locked On Network. We're going to send you to Vegas.
You're going to start out the first month of the NBA season in Vegas. We'll see how you do.
Yeah, no, definitely fun stuff. And it's you know, fun venue. I think it's a good deal overall. Let's see here. What other players? Let's just start with that. I mean, do you want to jump into Lonzo right away, or is there anyone else who kind of stands out
to
you before?
Let's jump into Lonzo and the Lakers right away, because I have already had plenty of friends angrily text or tweet me the picture that they had the Lonzo Kobe Bryant comparison already, because Ball was the last player since Kobe Bryant left the team to either assist or score on 61 points. It was the tweet that ESPN shot out, and everybody was mad because it was a summer league game, and because they're already comparing Ball to Kobe, even though he hasn't done anything and he hasn't played one regular season game. To be fair, if you're a Laker fan, this is kind of all you have to hold on to, is that hopefully this guy really pans out, because it's been a rough couple of years for Laker fans. So I think it was a little bit of an overreaction, but at the same time, I mean, can you blame the Laker fans for getting excited about this guy and maybe overreacting?
Yeah, not only that, let's not blame NBA fans for this. There is a one-man hype machine directly related to Lonzo Ball, who is pumping this guy up, right? I mean, for most players, if you said Justin Patton is the next Patrick Ewing or Kevin Garnett, like, you know, someone would have that hot take. Like, if Justin Patton was tearing it up, it'd be like, he's going to revolutionize the game like Kevin Garnett. And everyone else is going to be like, settle down. It's, you know, summer ball. So I think if it's a guy like Justin Patton, who I think just comes from like a normal family and just seems like a normal dude, I don't think that's a good thing for him. He's eventually going to have to deal with hype if he's any good. And I think he does. The foot injury is concerning, but and let alone just him dealing with a growth spurt. But I think he has the potential to be good. And as soon as he steps on the NBA court and, you know, balls out a little bit, people were chanting MVP for Chris Johnson. So, you know, Justin Patton is probably going to get some hype. But with Lonzo Ball, you just go, this is what they're asking for. You wanted to be in L.A. I know they're from there, but you wanted to be in L.A. You wanted to be part of this historic franchise. Part of the deal and part of the reason why with other players, I'm sometimes like, look, LeBron finishing up as a Laker, not a big deal. But if you really want to make a mark for yourself, maybe go somewhere else and make that team kind of your brand, right? I mean, so that you're directly associated with the history of that team forever, like LeBron and the Cavaliers, right? And it would be with Wiggins and Towns, and certainly is with Kevin Garnett and the Minnesota Timberwolves. But this is what they want. And his dad is constantly hyping him. And I don't know if I have a great read on Lonzo Ball. He comes off as just a really nice guy, but I don't know anything else other than that.
Well, and that's what I was just about to point out, too, is, to be fair, with all the craziness around him, if you watch, I've been looking out and targeting his post-game interviews ever since probably the end of the UCLA season through March Madness and the prep to the draft and then through the draft and then through the summer league. Just watch all of those interviews, because he's a super calm, laid-back dude who is always bringing up his team, always bringing up just what he's working on, not what he's really good at, what he's trying to get better on. He's basically the opposite of his dad. And so I think this is a perfect pairing. If you're going to have a dad who's a little out there and has all these crazy hot takes and is always drawing media attention, to have this steady hand of Lonzo Ball just after every game, just kind of being the Peyton Manning almost of the post-game interview for basketball, I think that's the way you even it out. And so far, it doesn't look like it's really fazed him. And obviously, through the 82-game NBA season, then you really figure out if it wears on him or not. But so far, he has really handled it in stride and done a really good job post-game. And with every interview that I've seen him in, done a really good job just handling all the stuff that media is throwing at him.
Yeah, like I said, I really like him, and I think he's going to be a fun player. His passing, and I think he should be a team first guy with his strengths. The other good thing about the NBA, and maybe this isn't universally true, but I think it is pretty true. You look at the Timberwolves and just how that organization does a great job with different personalities. When they had LaVine there, he was kind of the goofy teenager. And even with a hard edge guy like Tibbs, you know, he found kind of his way to be himself and not be a detraction from the team, because he shouldn't be. He's a really good dude. And now, you know, you're going to look at contrasting styles with, you know, when Garnett was on the team, how he was able to relate to Towns. Garnett, I think of, it's just a maniac. Like, he is like a basketball genius, right? And slamming his head around and just kind of just a general maniac, right? And Towns is literally going to host a late night show, I think, as soon as he leaves the NBA. Like, he'll be on TV, and he has this kind of magnetic, affable personality and a little bit.
Can we get that sign for zone coverage?
He's going to be hosting zone covers late night. I'm going to talk to Towns about that. I'm sure he'd be thrilled.
I love it.
But no, I mean, I don't think we have to worry about that for a while, hopefully. But, you know, he is likable, affable, has a little bit of that teacher's pet, you know, kind of mentality. But you compare that to Andrew Wiggins, who I think benefits now from having Butler there. You get two guys taking the spotlight away from him. He's very quiet, and I think it doesn't matter. He's kind of the assassin, I always say, of that team. You don't really see him coming, but he'll drop 30, and you'll be like, I don't know how it added up, but he got there. And then you have, Butler, who I think is sincerely kind of a humble, hardworking guy. But you have a guy who shouted out his cell phone number in a press conference, you know, that was on national TV in the middle of the Mall of America. So I think the nice thing about the NBA, and you can get outside of the Wolves and talk about the different personalities in the league, but it accepts the Westbrooks and the Durants and the, you know, LeBrons and stuff. These are all kind of different people. And I think Lonzo will find that. And my thing is, it seems like LeVar is able, like, he has to understand where the line is, and I haven't seen him cross it yet. He definitely probably is tiptoeing a little bit, but he's creating hype for a guy who probably wouldn't create it for himself, and maybe that's a good duo.
Yeah, and that, I think that's just one of those things where you gotta let it sit, and time will tell what happens. But he did a little bit go after LeBron and Jordan and their kids, kind of in a backhanded way, but he hasn't really done something that a bunch of people consider over the line. He said some crazy stuff, but that was all just opinion about his son and where he's going and what he could do. So, you're right. He hasn't really crossed any huge lines or anything like that, and it balances out nicely. And the other thing, too, that you can take away for Summer League that's actually happening on the court as well is, I know it was only one game, but the chemistry that Ball and Ingram looked like they kind of had the makings of, or the starting to build, looked really good. And the opening pass he had for the alley-oop up to Ingram was really nice, really nice. So to be able to be pulling that stuff together early on would be huge for a Laker team that's really young.
No, I agree. Let's get away from Lonzo real quick. I know he occupies a lot of time and probably should with his performance in the Summer League. But what are some other guys who stood out to you? And just maybe some kind of general thoughts about Summer League as a whole.
Some other guys I really like. Dennis Smith Jr. I know that's a popular take as well. Not breaking any coverage with that one, but we knew going in that he was super athletic. It was only the knee injury that he had that was a little bit of a maybe, but he was just such an athletic freak that you just kind of hope that his knee holds together and draft him. And Dallas got a really good pick with him. And I like hearing all the reports from other guys on the team and guys inside the organization just talk about how crazy athletic he is, how fast he is. Him doing all the dunking stuff in the pregame is really fun to watch. And he is just so fast. I think he might start to build that John Wall kind of speed where it's almost like he can't keep his feet underneath him. He's going so quick. And I think he's going to be a very explosive, fun guy to watch and pair with the inside guys of Dirk Nowitzki and Nerlens Noel.
Anyone else? Or is that kind of it?
I really like Jason Tatum for Boston. I think he's got quite a few offensive moves that are going to really translate nicely into the actual NBA game, especially his catch and shoot when he's playing with guys like Isaiah Thomas, Marcus Smart, those kind of guys. Even like a Jaylen Brown, who is mostly defensive, to have a guy who he can pass to like Tatum. I think there's a lot of Paul Pierce comparisons flying around, and I think while you don't want to put too many expectations on him young, I think those are probably pretty fair just with how he's able to score from just about everywhere, and he's got some nice shake and bake moves. a good catch and shoot, really nice drive to the basket. He just does a lot of things really well, and that's something that you like to see paired with the defensive young guys they have. Another guy I really like was Caleb Swanigan. Here's a fun stat. Two players in summer league have double-doubles that also have 15 points or more, Caleb Swanigan and John Collins. And Caleb Swanigan has been really balling out. I really like how he's a big guy, but he can also, he's really consistent in getting to the line, getting to the charity stripe, and he's shooting 93% from the free throw line. So that's good. That's what you want to see in a big guy. And like we were talking about before summer league started, Portland is, they're one or two guys in that front court away with that back court pairing from being a real serious threat in the West to maybe topple over some higher seeded teams. And I think maybe not this year, but next year, guys like Caleb Swanigan can really make the difference on that roster. So those are some of the guys I was paying attention to really closely here as the regular kind of summer league season wrapped up over the last week.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. How about your thoughts on the summer league as a whole and just putting the Wolves' performance in context? Does it even matter? I mean, given that this isn't when Wiggins and Towns and all those guys were in it.
I think it does still matter. I would really like to see Justin Patton play, obviously. I think that would have been really impactful for kind of figuring out where he goes on the bench and how developed he is already before the season. But I think, like I was saying earlier, just summer league matters because that's how, at the very least, you're going to find a couple guys over the next couple seasons that will pad your bench. So I think summer league matters for the Wolves just in terms of, I'm not sure how many guys they're probably going to bring up from this summer league outside of Justin Patton, but I think next year after that draft, when you have such an established kind of first eight guys, I think that's the summer league that will really be impactful. But I do think it matters, and I think they can turn because they still have that pick in their back pocket. So I think for them, really as a Timberwolves fan, as the Timberwolves organization, you're looking around and maybe you're looking at a guy like John Collins and you're thinking, I think he's worth maybe a Utah pick. See how he does for the first 20 games of the season. Maybe he's worth the Utah pick. Maybe you can package him together and ship stuff to Atlanta to get him. Maybe you can grab a young guy who's going to be the eighth or seventh guy on your roster and really bolster that bench because you already have Crawford and Gibson and Tyus Jones. So that fourth guy that's really going to do work on the bench, I think, is something that you're looking for if you're a Timberwolves fan and in the Timberwolves front office through summer league.
Makes sense to me. Any other final summer league thoughts?
Lonzo Ball, just stick with Nike.
Yeah, it's no, okay. It's the right call. I think he's going to be a fun. He's obviously going to be in the media and a lot of attention on him, but I think it'll be a fun thing to track.
It's going to be a fun Laker team because they're going to have Brook Lopez too with Ingram. Hopefully Ingram can play really well here in his second year, and they'll have Lopez, obviously a beast down low, and Paul is going to pass to both of them a lot.
Gotcha. Let me see real quick. I'm Brooklyn, I'm just thinking this because there was a Ringer article on him. What do you think about what they're doing generally? Wolves fans probably don't have to worry about this anymore, hopefully, because hopefully there's no more teardowns in sight. But as a team that kind of was mired in a really bad place, it seems what they're doing is kind of making sense. Obviously, they're going to have a weird-looking team next year with a lot of just expiring contracts. But it seems like they're, you know, getting the draft picks with it. I mean, what do you think if you're a Brooklyn fan right now, or even as in any capacity it relates to the Wolves, what do you think about what Brooklyn's doing?
I think they're doing what they have to do. They kind of hose themselves over the next few years with losing all those top picks like we've talked about before. But they just got to just spend all the money. Buy up all those expiring contracts. Get any guys you can on the roster. Get any young guys especially. I think trading out Lopez and taking on that contract of Mozgov from the Lakers to get the two-year removed second pick overall in D'Angelo Russell. Like, those are the moves you got to do. You just got to find young talent any way you can. Them getting that draft pick late in the first round this year and getting Jarrett Allen, I think he's a solid guy out of Texas who can who can play down low. And so you just got to find any young talent you can, and then when you can't, just buy up those expiring contracts, get guys on the roster, because you definitely don't want to be fielding a D-League team. And they're avoiding that. They're doing a good job of avoiding that and getting actual guys on the roster. And really, that's just all you can do right now as a Nets fan. That's all you can be expecting them to do.
Okay, getting back to kind of news in general, this is away from Summer League a little bit, but reports coming out that the Pacers offered Paul George to the Warriors for Klay Thompson. Do you have any big old hot takes on this one?
I think if you just won the way you did over LeBron, you just stick pat if you're the Warriors. I think it would be a good trade for Indiana, but I just don't mess with it, because especially because if you're going to rent out a guy for a year, because the assumption is George has already made his Laker jersey and it's just sitting in his closet waiting for next year.
Right.
And so why mess up the four man nucleus that you have in Golden State to rent out one guy for a year?
No, that makes sense to me. I still am a little shocked that the Cavs didn't kind of change things up, and it's an interesting move for Oklahoma City. But yeah, if it's
we're all still recovering from this free agency period. There was some massive trades, a lot of moving pieces, and some trades that really didn't make sense at all, too.
Yeah, and there may be more to come for the Wolves. I'm not certain they're done yet.
And for the Rockets with the Mello report.
Yeah, and that'll be interesting too. We'll cover that once we kind of get finality on that. We'll have more Wolves news for you. But for right now, for Colton Molesky, I'm Tom Schreier. This has been Locked On Wolves, the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
With the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.